that out. So now to the floor for a couple of questions to either of our first two panelists. We have two microphones coming around the room, so if you have a question, please keep it short, laser sharp, and let's have two or three. If we have hands up, who has a question?
I'll try and make it laser sharp.
Laser sharp.
And humane. It's primarily intended for Professor Davidson. I see in figure three that revenue management is considered a potential conflict trigger. So my question is about revenue transparency. I think this relates to the importance of information gathering and, as you mentioned, asymmetrical power dynamics. Do you think that revenue transparency is essential or important for effective mediation in this context? And specifically, I'm curious about Canada's position on revenue transparency. I know that there is new legislation mandating transparency, but that there's also an exceptions clause provision that allows the regulations are forthcoming. I'm not really sure about the motivation behind the exceptions provision, and do you consider it a potential threat to effective dispute resolution in the extractive industry? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take two more, and then we'll go to answers. Any other key laser-sharp questions? We have one in the front, then we have one in the back, and then we'll close it on that.
Thanks. You spoke of...
Sorry, John. Who's it to? Who's it to? Both panelists?
Oh, sorry. To Jeffrey. But also perhaps to both. You spoke briefly of the asymmetry in terms of the mediation process, and it would seem that often that's the norm, where you have a very high capacity extractive industry or company, and on the other hand you have a much more limited capacity on the part of local communities and even government. So given how common that is, how prevalent that is, I'm wondering, from your angle, how do you view that being resolved? Certainly, that favors the extractive company going into that that arrangement, and we've seen the results of advantage and disadvantage coming out. So I wondered if we could just give it a technical spin, perhaps from someone who's actually been in sort of the mediation as well. Maybe sort of speak to the asymmetry part.
Great, thank you. And then one final question in the back. There was one hand up. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just wondering, what's your opinion about investor-state mediation, which is very often concerned with natural resources? And I'm especially interested in the problem that the fundamental nature of both parties, or all the parties, is very different. So what do you think about the future, the challenges of especially investor-state mediation?
Sorry, is that interstate, state-to-state mediation?
No, investor-state.
Investor.
Yeah.
Can you clarify just a little bit more what you mean by that?
Well, when there is this dispute between investor and a state which is regulating the field or the special business of an investor.
Okay.
Sometimes covered by an agreement, like an investor-state agreement.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, two are for me.
If we
anyway.
Could start with Jeffrey, and then we'll move to...
What's the question?
There were three questions.
Okay, yeah. But
the second one was more for you.
What
which,
is it?
Which
I
was about dealing
it.
With asymmetry.
Huh?
Asymmetry between the different groups. How do you deal with asymmetry in the context of a mediation? Jeffrey, do you want to start?
Okay, so revenue transparency is one of the complicating elements in terms of the development potential for the extractive sector. And there's been a lot of work done on this at the international level, including the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. But there was also a sense that home countries had to take a role and responsibility to move this forward as well. And over the past 4 or 5 years, there have been a number of national initiatives, including the Dodd-Frank national fiscal financial reform bill in the United States, which one of the final or last amended clauses of which addresses revenue transparency. But interestingly enough, you know, the Security and Exchange Commission has been struggling to create an acceptable set and workable set of regulations for reporting to this day. So 5 years later, it's still not resolved. A number of European countries have established regulations and expectations in terms of revenue reporting, as has Canada. Now, in terms of the Canadian situation, it is important to note that this was the result of a multi-stakeholder process that involved the mining industry, the government, and key non-government organizations, including Publish What You Pay. And they came up with a solution that they felt they could fly with and that had a could work effectively. The other side of the coin in terms of revenue transparency is it's great to report the revenues that you make available or that you you deposit in government bank accounts, but the other side of the coin is how the money is actually used and expended. Is it allocated for development? Is it used in wasteful ways? In terms of capacity, at the other side of the table, the capacity issue of communities and power asymmetries, this is a major issue. When I worked in southern Venezuela at a mining property, it was clearly an issue that we needed to address. If we wanted to have an effective partnership and engage and involve the community constructively in the project, they had to have the capacity to understand and to speak their minds and to feel comfortable across the table from us. So, you know, over time, everything that we did with the community involved an element of capacity building. Whether it was creating a mining area that the community-based miners could manage for themselves and for the benefit of their communities, we had to help them learn how to keep books, how to negotiate with traders and outsiders, and how to negotiate with us, because we entered into a partnership with them and roles and responsibilities had to be clearly understood and defined. And if the skills and the competencies weren't there amongst the community people, then we had to help them or find ways of enabling them to develop those competencies.
Thank you. Luis, did you want to share some thoughts on
that? Just about as a practitioner, because I'm a mediator. So let's about just think about the symmetry when I'm presiding a mediation in the mediation room. The mediator will have to balance the power in the mediation room. And he or she will have to do that without compromising her or his neutrality. It's very difficult. It's for experienced mediators, because you never want to be looked at partial, so, but you have to help. How do you do that? When I have a vulnerable group compared to the opponent, I will conduct more caucuses and less joint session, because your vulnerability appears clearly when you're involved in joint sessions. But when you're caucus, it gives the mediator much more leverage in order to address this problem. Second, at this level of natural resources, vulnerable groups are less vulnerable than they used to be. Don't forget the power of media and the power of social network. Having a bad reputation for a corporation is not a very good thing. It's bad business these days. They don't like it. In the past, they didn't care about that. But now they care about that. So I see that environment groups, they can easily reach the media. They can easily get their assistance somewhere, and they can reach social network, and it can damage the reputation of the business. So that's why I think that these days, you know, what we used to know as asymmetry is getting less and less symmetry. Plus, you have a new, if I'm allowed to tell that, it's a new phenomenon now in media. I was in Baltimore 3 weeks ago when I discussed that with the International Academy of Mediators. They're all mediators from around the world. I said, have you noticed that, guys? Something's happening in our mediation room. I don't know if it's the same for you than for us. But I realized that when a group is more vulnerable, very often we get an agreement on the principle, and then instead of signing it, they will come back with a major demand at the end of the process. I'm talking about vulnerable groups. It's a new trend for unions, for environmental groups. You did the whole negotiation. You have an agreement on principles. So forget. I just forget. I need 2 million. God, you know, you didn't tell me that during the preparation. No. And I noticed that, for example, when I did big mediation at the Canadian level with big unions, that's the way they did. So it's a new, and when we know about it, it's nice. It's a new trend. I agree with that. But we'd like to know. Mediator, we'd like to be trusted by our group. So we'd like to know. But if it's the way it works, and we will cope with it. But that's the way to say to you that maybe it's more different in emerging countries, I don't know. But is it the same thing? But I think the power and the assistance of media in social network is getting more and more evident.
Thank you very much.